Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Well, here we are, another Friday, and we have another scramble for schools across the country. The Department of Education is withdrawing more than 50 sanitising products from schools, including hand sanitisers and wipes. Principals must now replace around one in three products before Monday morning, plunging the return to schools after the midterm break into fresh chaos. It comes after last week's recall of ViaPro hand gel and comes with mounting concerns among parents, teachers and principals over the safe return to school on Monday. First, to those who are affected by this latest recall, I'm joined by Louise Tobin, the principal of St. Joseph's Primary School in Tipperary Town, and we're also joined by Noreen Weldownig, representative of the National Principals Forum. To you, Louise, in Tip Town first, how are you affected by this?
Good morning, Philip. So we're affected in that the antibacterial hand soap that we have been using in our classrooms, that this product has now been recalled. So when I saw the list yesterday evening and I said, okay, here we go. But I suppose, once again, Philip, it's a problem for principals to sort. And I'm happy to say that I just about have the problem sorted. And
you were able to find an approved supplier and they're able to fill your order, you think, yeah?
No, I can confirm that I have found a supplier. I spoke to the department helpline last evening. I said, look, I need a bit of help here with this. And we identified a supplier. Email didn't work, so I placed a phone call this morning about 9:30. So I have secured a company in Mullingar. Now, the only problem is, Philip, that I suppose no more than school principals, the companies are under a bit of pressure as well to deliver on this as required by the department. So the lady I spoke to, she said that they hope to have delivery tomorrow, okay, or if not, first thing Monday morning. So
you were supposed... You were supposed to be getting a bit of a break here, really, weren't you? Because I'd imagine it's been fairly full on since March.
It's been hectic, Philip, and I was getting a break, I have to say. I said to my staff, please don't contact me except for emergencies. I'll deal with absences on Sunday evening. So I was having a lovely break up to 5:15 yesterday.
Okay. Noreen, how are you filling these orders now? Are you able to?
Good morning, Philip. How are you? Yes, I have managed to secure an order, but it hasn't come without a lot of work. So we've spent yesterday evening identifying what products need to be removed, which was pretty much everything. It was sanitizers, sprays, the wipes, everything, because we worked with the procurement list. And unfortunately, that means that we had to clear the place out, basically. There's 52 products. I mean, this is going to affect a huge number of schools. Not only that, then you're concerned about your parent body. So I had to contact the parents to reassure them that this will all be taken care of, because...
Well, hang on. How can you offer any reassurances about what it is that everybody's been using up until now?
No, I'm reassuring them that the school will be opened on Monday and we do have replacement products.
Okay.
We can't. And effectively, going by Minister Foley's interview yesterday evening, it seems to be down to a registration number. And the department have notified us to say they can't say that the products are unsafe. But look, Philip, the thing is that this is just another whip at the back of school leaders. It's the straw that will break the camel's back. But we say that so often, I'm wondering.
it's a pretty durable back that camel has at this
really
stage.
It really is. And unfortunately, it's like a relationship where the person who keeps taking it, which is what we're doing, we keep on going. And it is kind of an expectation on people to keep going and to keep accepting it. But there are a litany of issues which have gone and are going unaddressed by the DES. And it's just really important to say that while this issue is serious now, there's a long-ranging and long-standing number of issues that are not being addressed by this government. And they're going to have detrimental effects to education of our school children for years to come if we're not listened to.
We'll try and come back to them, because I'm also joined on the line by John Boyle, Secretary-General of the INTO, the Irish National Teachers Organisation. John, are these products safe or not safe? Because the Department of Agriculture has indicated that it's really only a licensing issue. Do you understand?
Well, that's what we don't actually know yet, and that's what's of huge concern to us in INTO, that there does seem to be a disconnect maybe between different departments, agriculture and education. Education are obviously taking precautions here, and have decided to recall all of these products, whilst agriculture are saying to the general public that there's no need to discontinue using them at the moment. But, I mean, I want to just echo what the two excellent principals from Tipperary have just said, Philip, and I know you have young children in the primary sector. The primary school system revolves around the principal teacher. Over half of them teach for 4 days of the week and have 1 day off then to administer their schools. And they were expecting a break, and I'm delighted that Louise got one up until last evening. But lots of them have spent the week contact tracing. Lots of them have spent the week dealing with the fallout from last week's issue over the ViroPro products.
Yeah.
They've got no breaks since last April.
And now there is another
issue.
There's another big issue hoving into view here, John, and that is whether kids in the primary sector should be wearing masks. The WHO is saying that children between 6 and 11 should be wearing face masks on a risk-based approach. They're introducing them in France. What do you think should be our approach here?
Well, from early last August, we asked for a review of face coverings in the primary education sector. And we got that review after 2 days. It identified that for primary, the staff should wear face masks or face coverings, but the pupils didn't have to. And up until last week when we called for another review, and the reason we're calling for it now is we're finding in areas like in France and other countries that they have changed their approach in line with the WHO recommendations for children over six. So we're not calling for masks to be worn by the children. We simply want the Irish health experts to review the position at level five. You know, we really need protections for all of the children and for the teachers. And it doesn't make sense to me, for example, that a child whose family have COVID-19 is not allowed to leave their house except to go to school.
Yeah.
So these are the inconsistencies that we really, really need answers to. And we got a lot of answers since last Monday in our engagement with NPHET. It's the first time we had a proper engagement with them, and it will continue weekly. But we need the report that Dr. Abigail Collins is preparing. We need that issued immediately so that it gives confidence and reassurance to parents, children, and particularly the staff in the education system that it is safe to go to school,
Louise,
between now and Christmas.
Louise, let me ask you, do you fancy your chances getting, never mind one 7-year-old, but a class of 30 7-year-olds to keep a mask on?
I'd say it'd be very challenging, Philip. I mean, it is extremely challenging to get the children to social distance, but the 1 metre. You know, they just want to be near their friends. We had a few pupils whose parents requested that they might wear masks. That has actually, they did wear them initially for the first couple of weeks and then it dwindled off.
Yeah.
So it would need to be a very, very clear, loud message based on evidence if it is to be brought into
schools.
Okay.
Our reporter...
I could just say though, Philip, go
ahead, John.
Just in fairness to pupils as well though, I have to say they have just worked so well and they have really done everything above and beyond what we have asked of them in our schools. I honestly feel I have a couple of children myself of that age. And I honestly feel if they're asked to do something, they would row in behind it. The children have been absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, it's the resources that we have in our schools. It's the classrooms that are too small. It's the overcrowded rooms. That is essentially the difficulty that we're going to have with these matters.
All right. Noreen Wildowney and Louise Tobin and indeed John Boyle as well. Thank you all very much. Our reporter Barry Lenehan is here as well. Barry, you've been talking to parents, teachers, principals about this return to school next week and many concerns even before you add in this latest recall. All the products.
Yeah, that's it indeed. And communication's a big issue as well, particularly around the levels of virus in schools. The HSE, remember, insisted yesterday that the picture around COVID-19 in schools is, quote, very reassuring. Just 2% of schools, it says, have seen transmission between pupils and or teachers. But parents, teachers telling me over the last few days, they're still not convinced. They don't believe this. They say they should be given more information as schools return next week. In other countries, authorities state publicly how many schools are fully or partially closed due to coronavirus. That doesn't happen here. Some, there's a breakdown of teachers who've tested positive. This is something that the unions want. And indeed, in Northern Ireland, all this information is made public and more, right down to the number of teachers who've had to self-isolate.
And with all of these concerns floating around in the ether, you found out that some parents are taking things into their own hands.
Yeah, according to the HSC, as of this time yesterday, there have been 570 additional coronavirus cases identified across 196 schools since the term began. But these figures only account for the number of cases after mass testing in schools. They don't show the full number of cases in schools. The HSC are not providing nor explaining fully why they don't provide this information. So parents themselves, as you say, Philip, stepping in, alerting parents of outbreaks in schools is a Facebook group of 117,300 members. Six concerned parents leading the collation of information on positive COVID cases in schools based on HSC letters sent out and notifications to parents. Now, these are all posted online, however, and according to the group, as of this morning, there have been 1,226 cases of coronavirus in 726 schools nationally. Double the number of cases the HSC reports this morning. The group figures also show how almost 50% of secondary schools have had a positive COVID case in September.
Parents in this group may be concerned, but is this not a form of, albeit well-meaning, vigilantism, but vigilantism nonetheless? Because how accurate is their information? What are the fears that they might cause unnecessary panic?
Well, that's the real concern for the HSC and the Department of Education. They're telling me how social media may stigmatise children with COVID-19, or people could be wrongly identified as COVID positive. But the group insists it verifies everything, and trawling through thousands of comments in this group last night, many parents quoted as saying they feel, quote, in the dark. They want more transparency. The situation, they say, alarming. The group's founder, Martina Bro.
We receive letters from parents and from school staff all across the board stating that there's a case in said school. We won't publish a case unless we have proof of this case via a HSE letter, school text, a text off a school website, or a staff email that has been sent from principals to teachers.
And all this is shared on the Facebook group?
It is. Whenever we get a case in, we will go and we will verify the case. We will make sure that it's to do with that said school. And then we would publish to the group stating that there was a case in said school.
Why are you doing this? Because the Department of Education, it does release figures as well in relation to the number of outbreaks in schools, whilst the HSC often provides information as well in relation to additional cases in schools.
That they do, but they're not being very transparent as to where and when this is happening. So people are finding solace in being told that there is a case in a certain school. And we've had many mails from parents telling us that, you know, they're so grateful because otherwise they wouldn't have known. I've had teachers mail myself telling me to say thank you because they wouldn't have known of a case in their own classroom.
Do you think that information is necessary?
I do. From the feedback we get from our members and from how fast the page has grown, I think it's necessary. And I think it's very necessary, as I said, for those with family members who have underlying health conditions so that they can make a judgment on themselves whether they want to send their child into school. So I think it's very important that people should be told where these cases are. We have never identified somebody. We have never named somebody.
Would there be a fear, not Martina, that when you're saying where there are cases in school on your Facebook group, and because of the stigma around COVID, that there might be a witch hunt, or people might be scared because of it?
I don't understand the witch hunt. I don't understand that part of it. Because to me, this is a pandemic. If your child catches COVID, there's nothing to be ashamed of. So many people had to turn to a Facebook group for the information to find some sort of solace. It should speak volumes for itself.
Martina Bro, one of the administrators of that Facebook group. Barry, what about the identification of close contacts in school settings? We know the government is promising ramped up contact tracing teams for schools from next week. Is it going to be enough?
Several teachers, parents I spoke to say they want proper guidance as to what constitutes a close contact in a school setting. Seamus in Dublin last week, his 9-year-old son tested positive for the virus after not feeling well over the weekend. But the Friday before, there was a confirmed case in his son's class, but the HSC said no close contacts. Back to school, the kids went the Tuesday, two further positive cases, overall four positives in the class, and then the entire class deemed as close contacts, alas. Here's Seamus' reaction.
I'm not happy because I think the HSC should have identified everyone as a close contact on the Friday. Now, if I hadn't decided myself to bring him to the doctors on the Monday or to ring the doctors to get him a test, because the only symptom he was showing was his temperature, as I said, was 37 plus. If I hadn't been worried enough to bring him for the test, you know, I probably would have sent him back to school on the Monday or Tuesday. He may have infected other people. It seems that the infection was transmitted in the class.
Were people at risk, do you think?
Oh, I definitely say so. I just can't imagine how you can have four cases in the one class and not come to the conclusion that there had to be transmission in that class. And then by sending the children back in for 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, and not knowing for certain that there may not have been transmission on those 2 days. Yeah, it seems that was a very dangerous strategy to pursue.
For you, a classroom setting, everybody should be a close contact rather than being people confined to pods and bubbles.
The European Centre for Disease Control, I mean, their definition of a close contact is if you're in a room for more than 15 minutes with a confirmed case. The most logical, the most, you know, conscientious thing to do would be just to say, OK, the whole class, go home, isolate, we'll test you and we'll test you again, just to be on the safe side. It makes a mockery of the idea that you can have these crowded environments and just identify a few people in the room as close contacts. I just don't see it, and it goes against the advice of the European Centre for Disease Control.
Be like Seamus, mums and dads, I think, is the thing that I take away from that. Briefly, Barry, what other issues have you been hearing and what's the department saying this morning?
Substitute teachers, one primary school principal in Cork, telling me how they're going back next week with six substitutes and just one permanent teacher due to coronavirus after closing for 3 days last week. He's one of the lucky ones because substitutes apparently very hard to find at present in secondary schools. Some are considering reduced timetables or having students work from home 1 day a week. These are just some of the many issues of concerns as schools return from midterm. The department insisted this morning there are sufficient substitute teachers and there will be fast turnaround time for testing in schools, with tests usually returned within 24 to 48 hours as pupils return for the midterm.
Barry, thank you very much. I'm joined now by Donnacha O'Leary, Sinn Féin Education Spokesperson, to return to this issue of the recall of the sanitary products. Donnacha, do you understand whether they are safe and whether this is just a licensing issue or not?
Well, I think John Boyle said it accurately. We don't know at this point, but I would make the point that, you know, licensing exists for a reason, and that's to demonstrate that they are entirely safe. So I think that the right decision is being taken in, you know, if we can't be confident that these are safe for use by children and staff, then they should be recalled. But I think we need to consider how we got to this situation. These products, over 50 of them across sanitizers, wipes, detergents, refills, are all being recalled. It's causing huge disruption for schools. I was listening to those parents, to those principals there. It's absolutely chaotic and very, very frustrating and difficult in advance of schools reopening Monday. But, you know, and then you had a product last week, ViraPro, that was actively harmful, causing dermatitis, respiratory issues for children with asthma, you know, and that just isn't good enough. Yeah. And I suppose what we don't know is whether some of those issues exist with some of these other products. But all these products, and the department have said it themselves, that providers were asked to provide samples, they were assessed, evaluated by teams with the necessary technical competencies. What I can't understand, and what I've been looking to ask the minister, which he hasn't come before either the Dáil or we sought her to come into the committee last week, is, you know, if these tests were happening, if these assessments were happening, well, then how did it so many products slip through the crack? Like, I mean, one product that was actively harmful, how did that get through testing? And many other products that didn't have the correct paperwork to confirm whether they were safe or not. So, I mean, what was the level of testing that was happening here? Why didn't the due diligence happen to ensure that everything was properly certified, ready to go and safe, if the department were recommending to schools that you get your products from this list, these are the safe products?
Noreen and Louise, the two principals that we were talking to, were resourceful and lucky enough to manage to get their hands on replacement product. I'm sure there are going to be other principals who don't manage to do that over the course of this weekend. Are you worried whether schools will actually be able to reopen on Monday morning?
Well, of course, like, I mean, there are concerns, and that's not the only one. And I think they've articulated that very well about the straw that keeps threatening to break the camel's back. I do think the Department of Education really needs to get a handle on COVID-19 safety measures in schools, because it's falling short of the mark in several ways. I do have a lot of faith in principals and school leaders and in their staff. I think they showed tremendous ingenuity and resourcefulness and commitment as well, and hard work getting schools back, keeping them open all this time. And I'm sure that'll be the case before Monday. But I do know that last Friday, today, a week ago, there were schools that just weren't in a position to reopen because they had so little notice. And there is the danger that that will happen again on Monday. I certainly hope it doesn't. We do want schools to be open. We saw the loss of learning that existed for so many children across the state in the spring and early summer. And I would be anxious to avoid that. But if it does transpire that a school can't open because they haven't been able to source alternatives, I wouldn't be blaming the school, I'd be blaming the department, because how, you know, these were products that were recommended to use and schools came to rely on them, and not unreasonably either.
Donal O'Leary, thank you very much. One of your texts on 51551 is very interesting on this issue of the right to know. It comes from somebody who is a parent and a teacher in the same school. As a parent, I've been informed of one case in the school, but as a teacher, I've been informed of more than 10. I know of nearly 20 now, but we're not being informed due to privacy issues. Somebody else says, that's all we need, Philip, another Facebook group of DIY medical experts. Thanks, but no thanks. I will stick to the actual experts over there.